Welcome to Unabridged, the weekly podcast where four teachers take on books. We're your hosts. I'm Jenny, and I'm here with Sarah, Jen, and Ashley. We'll chat about our book club's pick of the month, discuss selected young adult novels, recommend related books, and share our nerdy English teacher love of reading. To follow along with our schedule, visit our website, unabridgedpod.com. You want opinions about books? We've got them.
This is Jen. Today we're discussing Tell Me Three Things by Julie Buxbaum. It is a story about the difficulty of loss and the power of relationships to help people move through grief. In the story, Jessie has lost her mom and moved with her father to California, where she lives with his new wife and her son. She has contact with an online advisor from her school whose identity is secret. The advisor becomes a comfort and a source of strength for Jessie. So what did you all think about Tell Me Three Things?
I loved it. This is Jenny, and I loved it. Now, I listened to it first on audio. I heard it on CDs in my car. And it was one of those books I did not want to stop listening to. I wanted to drive more because it was so, I just was so caught up in it. So big thumbs up for me.
This is Sarah. I liked it too. But I'm always a sucker for the teen angst. I love that in a story, and this had that, but it also had some underlying depth that some young adult books don't have. So I liked it. It wasn't my favorite, but I liked it. Mm-hmm. That's how I felt.
Yeah, this is Ashley, and I liked it. I wanted to like it more. I think that I was expecting to really love it, and I Jen and I have talked about this before, and she pointed out to me that one of the things that's different maybe in our reading preferences is that I am not a big sucker for romance novels, and this one is pretty heavy. You really have to buy in.
Yes.
On some of the conventions to make the romance part work.
Yeah.
And I had a hard time with that part. So I agree with what you said, Sarah. I did like how it dealt with family dynamics. I liked how it dealt with grief. I think that, you know, I think she did a great job of looking at those issues, and that part I really enjoyed. But some of the romance part I was a little less than convinced by.
Yeah.
Like the convention of it that we'll get into in a minute. Like I think that part, I believe the story of the two kids.
Yeah.
But I think some of the premise, the email, all that stuff, like that part I had a little bit of a hard time with.
This is Jen. I really enjoyed it, partially because, as Ashley just mentioned, like I'm the opposite and I love a good romance.
So Bridget sister.
I just like all of that part. There was a part toward the end, and this will be a spoiler, so I'll wait. Like, I suspended my disbelief for some of the conventions Ashley mentioned throughout. I mean, there were some things that, yeah, maybe it wouldn't have happened, but I'm okay with that. Like, I can suspend disbelief like crazy. There was one point, for some reason, I was like a little, I don't know, and I'll tell you all later once we've done our spoiler alert. But I just thought it was so strong. I loved the main character, Jessie, I think is such a great character, and I think she has so much depth, and I appreciated the way she was working through the romance, but also the relationships with her new brother, and her dad, which is really conflicted because of her mom's death, and his new wife, and her situation is really challenging, and I didn't think she was a brat, but I thought she dealt with challenges in a realistic way. And so I liked both the romance part and the parts of the book that had nothing to do with the romance and that were just about this girl grieving for her mom and trying to build a new life.
Well, this is fascinating. This is Jenny again, and I do not remember having to suspend disbelief. I remember just falling for it and being, I love the format of it. I felt like it got right into the story. And immediately, I loved the way it was set up, and I was just on my little magic carpet ride of loving this story. Like, I just thought it was awesome. I don't remember thinking, what? I think that there are some places in the book where you could say, I don't know if it would quite play out that way, but it didn't feel to me like, well, that's not ever going to happen. Right. I didn't have that kind of feeling. And I might have been on a little romance high. It is possible. But I was really happy with it. And I just thought it was a well-told story.
Well, and Jenny, to be fair, I didn't recognize those till after.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Because I read it. This is one I read very quickly. I did not read it in audio. So
okay.
I was reading quickly because I was so swept up. And then when I looked back was when I thought.
I mean, the thing that I just could not believe.
Yes.
Was the premise that she could not connect the dots between SN.
Yeah.
And are we going to go ahead and give spoilers
here? I think
we
have to.
Yes.
Okay.
Spoilers.
And Ethan, I felt like I I knew from the moment that he was the kid yes. in the chair with the Batman shirt on.
Yes.
That, and yeah. Batman's a little heavy-handed also.
Yes.
That it was clear that he was the person. And I feel like, okay, yes, she wouldn't know right away. I get that. But then how did she not hear his voice and see that the person that she's working with him with so often and is falling in love with in a separate mm-hmm. way? And I enjoyed all of that. I enjoyed both sides, but it was really hard for me. She was such a smart girl.
Yeah.
And she was so well-rounded as a character in so many other ways that I was just like, how does this bright girl, who is very able to make connections and understand other people, not see?
Yeah.
And especially when she thought it was Caleb. I was like, really, honey?
Okay.
Really?
Or Liam.
I mean, Liam, Caleb. I was like, yeah. What is happening here? I cannot get on board that ship.
It is not a happy romance answer, but I do have an answer. All women know some smart woman in their life who suspends disbelief, who is mm-hmm. happy to just go with it, and is happy to say, it doesn't matter that he hit me this once. It doesn't matter mm-hmm. that I'm finding traces of another woman. It doesn't matter. We all want to see what we want to see sometimes. Mm-hmm. And because we want to see it, we find evidence to make it real. We have all either been mm-hmm. that woman or known that woman. Mm-hmm. So, and she's a teenage girl. So I don't know that it occurred to her the same way. Like, I honestly thought it was her brother. I thought it was Theo for a part of the time. I thought maybe he's really looking out for his new sister, and I didn't know. I just wasn't sure at first. But I think that it is so possible to look for what you want to see. Mm-hmm. And then when you want to see it, you find evidence to support it.
But then she wanted it to be Ethan.
I know, but I think what was going on was there was the whole other complication with her friend, Dree. Dree was her friend, right? There was that whole other complication with his band. I mean, I think there were enough layers. And yeah. also, I am a fangirl at heart, so I can explain it all away. But I really do think, though, that it is possible for women to
yeah.
find an answer and make that answer fit.
Well, and I also think, I think she was very confident, but again, she has the same lack of confidence that we all have. And mm-hmm. I think she found it hard to believe that he, who she envisioned as being so perfect, could possibly feel the way she hoped he felt about her. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so, I almost think, like, I believe it from the opposite
yes.
direction. Here's the part, and this is way deep, like, at the end, and I don't know why this is where I tripped up. I had a hard time believing that once they had decided to meet, and she and Ethan got together that one last night to work on their project, that he could hold it together enough to not reveal to her that it was him. Because I thought, he knows they're going to meet tomorrow, or 2 days, or however long it was. How can he keep it that cool to not give it away?
Well, and then why did he set it up
right.
to yeah. come together the way that it
yeah.
did? And again, I mean, I can get on
yes.
board with
yeah.
the fact that that made it more suspenseful. It had to play out that way
mm-hmm.
so that she was like, oh, no, it's him. Oh, it is him. Oh, wait, it's him. Oh,
no.
You know, to the point. But
yeah.
I thought, like, he could have avoided that whole situation where he had to text her and say, it's me.
Yeah.
Well, and that... I really did like the book. I think, like, when I reflect on books to discuss, then I start trying to pick
right.
them apart. But
yeah.
I really enjoyed it, and I
yeah,
was like, I read it, and I loved it when I read it. But then when I start analyzing it, but that part, even when I read it, with them in the booth and stuff and all of that, I was like, now this is just way too convenient that all these boys are at the same pancake house or whatever it was at the same time. And then that part, I didn't. Bye.
Well, and he knew they'd be there.
Yeah.
He knew
yeah.
they were going to be meeting before, and that could potentially be quite confusing/overwhelming
right.
for her.
And also,
I flipped in the book, and what the author says is that they had a band meeting, an Oville
meeting.
Yes, they
did. Right,
right. So, of course,
no,
they're all in the same
point.
Place.
It's like Ethan
but
knew
they're,
that.
They're, yes, but
why
what I'm saying is,
say?
Why are they all in the same place? Because they had a meeting.
Right.
I'm with that. I
but
mean,
I understand. Yeah, I get that. But I don't know.
I just feel like, you know,
because he's
anyway,
a teenage boy.
You know.
He's not
right.
Think
yeah.
he's a smart teenage
clearly,
boy, but
right?
still.
I mean, there's, like, I don't know. I'm probably just explaining stuff away. But I feel like they're teenagers. They're,
right.
They're, like, I could think, I was just thinking earlier today about something that I thought as a teenager. And now I'm like, what is wrong with me? But I really actually
yeah.
thought that was
yeah.
acceptable,
that's,
whatever it was.
That's right, yeah.
So as teenagers, you think differently. And then when you're in the throes of love, you totally think differently.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
yeah. regardless, it's sweet. I mean,
it's
I
totally
think,
sweet.
Yeah.
Trust
yeah.
me,
regardless.
It's okay with me if I get it. We don't all have to agree. I'm okay.
Well, I wanted the romance. Like, I mean,
yes.
I'm always like, bring on the romance. I love that. And I love the angsty part of it where, oh, are they or are they not? Oh, wait.
Yeah.
Oh, they almost got together, but not quite. I love all of that. But one thing that I wanted to comment on that I didn't before, when Jenny, when you said about not knowing who
mm-hmm.
who SN was, mm-hmm. well, I just... had a hard time thinking that she couldn't recognize it because he was so, he was still flirty in those messages.
That's why I felt like it was so similar.
Yeah, and he was so, I mean, it just seemed like it would connect for her because his messages were flirty and coy and, you know, and smart like he is, you know, like,
that
I just...
drama.
That dry humor.
Which is great. Yeah, it's really
so fun. It was hard for me to think, like, what you were saying, Ashley, that she couldn't connect those dots because of the way that the messages were set up. Because and all the other guys that were in, that she kind of, you know, or suspects or whatever, they didn't have that, you know? I don't know.
Yeah, and I felt like, especially when it became clear that they'd had the trouble with the band, and that the what was his brother's name?
I can't remember.
Anyway, that his brother died.
Yes.
And it was clear that that had heavily impacted him, even though she didn't know it was his brother. Right. So then I just felt like, okay, SN has family loss of a sibling. He had a profound loss that she might not have known his family, but, you know, all those things. And I think, you know, we're getting caught up in the details here.
Xander?
Yes.
Xander.
That's right, yes.
Well, and I also think I express myself very differently in writing and in social media than I do in real life. So
that's
I think
true.
For her to see those other decoy SNs as potentially having a different voice in writing than they did in real life, even though Ethan's is definitely closer, I think I can make an argument for that, you know, that they could have this kind of dry, witty,
banter.
Thank you.
I guess they didn't get presented as people who had that kind of depth, though. And I'm not saying that I don't want to belittle either Liam or Caleb, because maybe they were deeper than they seemed in the book. But they came across as being, you know, as being really superficial, and so then it's hard to imagine. Anyway, I think, again, those are all details. I think there were a lot of great things in the book.
Yeah.
But I did get hung up on that, some with the reading, because, again, I am skeptical. I don't always buy into the romance. And I was just kind of like, it's really hard for me to work out that this... I just think so much of the story is contingent upon how much you buy into the emails and how that all plays out.
I get that. If we were talking about a fantasy book, I would be
right.
I absolutely get it. I have two things. First of all, we didn't say what SN stands for.
Okay.
And that's the email that this person set up called somebodynobody@gmail.com, I think. So he calls himself SN. But then the other thing is, the one other factor we might have mentioned, but her mama just died 2 years before, right? And that 2 years sounds like a long time. But if you think about it, as a teenage girl, having lost your mom and then having to move across the country with your dad, with a new stepmom, with a new stepbrother and all this, it's quite possible that she feels like she doesn't know how to make sense of a boy liking her. Do you know what I mean?
Because
girls might rely on a good girlfriend who she doesn't have in this new place.
Right.
Or her mom who she doesn't have.
Right.
So
that's a good point.
I think both of those could factor into why she didn't put it together.
Well, go ahead.
No, you go ahead, Jen.
You're
going to start a new thing. I was going to start a new
thing,
too. Okay. We're so polite around here. I just wanted to talk a little bit about her relationship with her dad. Is that what you were going to?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, go for it.
I was so angry with him, you know, and I think... not even that he started this new relationship from a lady he met online, not even that part, but just the fact that he was so absent once they got to LA. I just did not understand. I mean, I know he's grieving, and so he gets into this relationship, they move. Okay, that makes me mad, but the thing that made me the most mad was that he didn't talk to her. She was all alone by herself in that house where she was a stranger. That just was so sad to me. I was just so mad at him about that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, when he finally, when they kind of had it out, when he came to the bookstore, I thought that conversation was so powerful because she handled it in the best possible way, which was, of course, I still love you. That doesn't make it okay, but we're going to move on from here and be all right. And I just thought her maturity was amazing. I thought, I loved him because I had been so angry with him, too. I just kept thinking, how are you not seeing your daughter struggling with so many different parts of her life? But then that he admitted that he messed up. I mean, I thought that was a great scene. And I thought Buxbaum really did a great job, like, kind of layering depth into some of those secondary characters. Like, that was an example. And with Theo and
Theo.
Her stepmom, like... We didn't see a lot of her, but I thought as the book went on, just as Jesse was learning to know these people, I thought we did too. And so
when we saw that
well.
She was a good person, you know, like we didn't know a lot about her, but we could see that she didn't know how to navigate the pathway, as opposed to she didn't care about her or she wasn't concerned about, you know, making her part of her family.
Well, and we didn't say this either, but her stepmom, whose name I can't remember,
Rachel.
Theo, both were grieving as well. Like, her husband, his father, had died also. Mm-hmm. So it makes sense that when you have two grieving families coming together, there's going to be a lot to work through. So I just thought that was a strong part of the novel.
So 2 years seems like a long time, but I feel like in grieving life, that is nothing.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean?
Especially two teenage years.
Yes. And your parent.
Oh, my gosh.
At that age.
Yes.
I mean, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I don't. Agreed. That doesn't seem like long at all.
Mm-hmm. And that was the part I thought they did such a nice job on. In fact, I was just rereading that quote. She says, "We will power through it. I will continue to power through it. All the stagnant, soul-crushing grief. But it will never be okay that my mom is not here."
Yeah.
Yes.
And she was like, yes, that sums it up.
Yes.
Yeah.
That, you know, and so I really appreciated that there, it was all this, like, effort to move forward and figure out what your life looks like. But, you know, not dismissing or, I thought that's really powerful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that, I know this is not specifically about the book, but there's this, it's way early in the whole Grey's Anatomy thing where, this is not a spoiler, it happened years ago, but George's dad dies, right?
Yeah.
And he says something like, "I don't know how to live in a world where
mm-hmm.
he isn't."
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't know what to do with it. And I just, that line always hit me. Because thank God my parents are both still here right now. And the thought of them not being here is totally overwhelming. And I'm way past
mm-hmm.
a teenager.
Yeah. And I think that I really like that in the book. Like, I think when my mom died,
mm-hmm.
I just remember, like, you had to wake up and remember again.
Yeah.
And I had never experienced something so painful that you actually can't remember it because it's shifting your entire reality.
Yes.
And I thought this book, without being over the top or, you know, I didn't think it didn't, like, feel melodramatic, but I thought it did a really good job of showing precisely how you just feel lost.
Mm-hmm.
Like, where do you fit in the world when something like that happens? Yeah, so I really appreciated that part for both of them, and how I think I was mad at the dad too, but I also was like, no one knows how to pick up the pieces.
Right.
You know, an adult is no less prepared for those kinds of things than a child, and so, you know, everyone has to kind of struggle through and figure out how to move forward. So, I thought that part was great.
Did you all read Bugs Baum's note at the end? And she talks about having lost her mom when she was young.
Yes.
And I just think you can see that through the empathy that she shows all the characters, who are all flawed, who all make mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
But that empathy shows someone who has gone through it and come out the other side, whatever that means. That, you know, she's still grieving. She's still working through things. But has gained a perspective on some of those things.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We haven't really talked about, this is more a structural thing or just a stylistic thing, the emails and the text and all that are actually included in the book. And I'm a sucker for a love story, and I'm a sucker for a multi-genre text, because I just think there's an immediacy there. I don't know, like, I would get excited when I was reading them, and I could feel how excited she was to read them, because, you know, this guy... Everybody's swooning because he's so clever. And so, yeah. So I thought that was...
I am totally a sucker, too. Love it. Love. Love. And I just found a passage in the book that I was thinking about. The way it was handled was so good because it made sense even in audio. Like, for example, Jesse's writing and says something like she's considering hightailing it back to Chicago. And SN writes back in capital letters, "No," with an exclamation point. And then she writes back and says, "Ha, love when your shift key comes out." Like, she acknowledges the fact that he was feeling that strongly. But as a listener, it totally made sense.
I hadn't thought about they had to portray all of that in audio. That
I never felt lost with the audio. That's part of what I thought was so well done with it was, even as a listener, with all the emails and back and forth, because it would say SN and me, but it doesn't get into all the specifics. It totally made sense to me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And good writing. I think it really did have good writing.
Yeah. That's what I was thinking about, both with structure and also with the secondary characters. I loved Scarlett and her relationship with her. And I did get, there were times where I got fed up with Jesse because I was like, cry me a river, kid.
Right.
You were going to this private school in a luxury place, living a luxury life in this mansion that you, it's not that I felt no sympathy because yes, it is awful to have people serve you when you feel that that's not the way you should be in life. It's hard to be in a huge space where you, but to a certain extent, I was kind of like, oh, okay, I get it. You were, you know, living in this multi-million dollar
mansion.
That's
what we call a first world problem.
Yes,
that's
right.
What that is.
And so then I just so appreciated Scarlett because all of that got addressed.
Mm-hmm.
So that frustration that I had with Jessie was played out so nicely with her friend who, rightly so, was kind of like, oh, you have all these boys who are giving you so much attention and you're in this huge place and you're going to this amazing school. Yeah, your life is so hard. And so I just think, like, I liked that too, because I do think we could see from Jessie's perspective why she felt
mm-hmm.
how she felt, but then it's hard not to be like, come on.
Yeah. Well, but the other thing with Scarlett that I thought was so well written was Jessie left and gets this whole new life,
mm-hmm.
which is
yes.
awesome. Scarlett stays where she is.
Yes.
Right.
Nothing changes for Scarlett except now the person she loves and depends on is gone.
Mm-hmm.
So she has this huge loss. And then when Jessie comes back, you know, it's that whole you can't go home again thing. She does go back and she sees her friends, but now Scarlett brings along other people.
Right.
And it's not just them anymore. And they don't quite fit the way they used
mm-hmm.
to. And that's what Jessie has been clinging to
mm-hmm.
this whole time. If I just go back to Chicago, my life's going to be great. There's not going to be a problem. I'll fit right back in. And then she realizes she doesn't fit there.
Right.
Yeah.
And that is really hard.
Yeah.
When somebody else that you think you'll still fit with, you don't fit anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was well done.
Mm-hmm.
I think about how many students would come back to the high school where I taught from college. And if things weren't quite working out at college, you could see them come back and feel like they had lost their place.
Mm-hmm.
Like
yes.
they haven't
yeah.
established
yeah.
a new place quite. But their old place is not the same. It is not the same to be at the high school football game when you were a freshman in college.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, so I think that's an experience all people
mm-hmm.
go through is trying to recapture something that's gone
mm-hmm.
yeah.
and hopefully being able to move on in a productive way. So this is Jen. Now we're going to talk about some of the books that we would recommend for people who enjoyed this novel or maybe enjoyed parts of it but want something a little different. I'm recommending Gail Forman's If I Stay, which is a book I read several years ago. So the details might be a little fuzzy, but that one similarly has a great romance and is dealing with grief in a really interesting way. It is about a girl who is in a horrible car accident with her parents and her younger brother. And this is a spoiler. Pause for a moment.
Oh,
if you
I
wanna
haven't read it.
Huh?
I haven't read it.
Okay, I will give a spoiler then. So for most of the book, the main character is, whose name I can't recall, sorry, is in a coma. And her boyfriend is sitting with her in the hospital room trying to convince her to make the decision to wake up. And you see in flashbacks her relationship with him and her relationship with her family with whom she was in the car accident. And it's really poignant. It's beautiful. The romance is great. It's you know, it's definitely sad, but it's a great book. And I think it would pair well with this one.
This is Sarah. And the book that I've chosen is more about the relationships and having something that is deeply moving and hard to work through, and also having that the development of a romance and that type of thing. So the book that I'm talking about is How to Disappear by Sharon Huss Rote, and it actually is brand new. It was just published in 2017 in the summer, and it is about a girl named Vicky Decker who suffers from severe social anxiety. So she turns to social media where she creates this account where she is called Bicurious, which she posts pictures of herself in like costumes so she's unrecognizable, and kind of targets people who feel lonely and alone and just kind of no one to turn to. And she creates this place for them to communicate with each other, and she tries to encourage them, and she gets all these followers, and so there's this double life she's living.
Mm-hmm.
And her part of her issues come from a strained relationship with her mother, who wants her to be a popular, social,
mm-hmm.
and she is just crippled by her anxiety. And it's a really whereas Tell Me Three Things is kind of that relationship, that strained relationship with the father. The relationship with the mom really
mm-hmm.
reminds me of that, but it has a different aspect. But it also has that love aspect and the things that you are
that come up in young adult a lot, and so it has that aspect, but I really felt like the author did a good job exploring the social anxiety. Mm. So
that sounds great.
Yeah, it's really, yeah, it was really good. Yeah.
That's interesting. I wanted to talk about Anna and the French Kiss. This is Ashley. and I wanted to talk about it partially because I wanted to talk about Stephanie Perkins, the author. I really love her, and part of why I wanted to pair with this is because it does have some similarities as far as the content of the book. Anna has moved. She has to go to Paris again, you know. We can debate how difficult that is. But, you know, in her world, she is uprooted. She does not want to have to go. It's her senior year. She's forced to go spend the year in Paris and feels like she's been shoved out by her family. You know, and so I think there's a lot of that. That part is similar, mm-hmm. the uprooting,
yeah.
Feeling lost and lonely, not fitting in.
Mm-hmm.
But also I want to talk about Stephanie Perkins because I think if you enjoy romance, mm-hmm. I just think I am not a romance reader, as we have already established, but I love her. And yeah. I think her books are beautiful, but also, I mean, they're light in the way that you want a romance book to be light, but they also hit on real issues, mm-hmm. real struggles, the family dynamics. Anna develops a relationship with Etienne, and like his family dynamics are really difficult. And so you watch their family struggle and them getting to know each other, but also having to deal with those issues. And so I think, yeah, I wanted to talk about that both because I think there's some similarities there, but also because I think she's just a great author in this genre and deals with, I mean, like Judy Bugsbaum did, deals mm-hmm. with some real issues that affect you know, in authentic ways, but also has some really fun, beautiful love stories that people can enjoy.
Now, I don't know Stephanie Perkins. Does she have a lot of books?
She has four now.
Okay. Yeah, her fourth one's coming out later this month. Okay. I pre-ordered.
Oh, yeah.
And it's a horror. It's a horror.
Yeah, so we'll have to see what happens with that one.
Yeah, but and I will say she's a great follow on Twitter, too.
Excellent. Oh. I will definitely be looking her up. All right, so this is Jenny, and my pick is We Are All Made of Molecules by Susan Nielsen. And it's excellent. It is very, very similar to Tell Me Three Things without the romance. I mean, there are some parts of it, but that's not at all what this is about. So Stuart is 13, and he and his dad have been trying to make it since his mom died. And then his dad becomes romantically involved with Ashley's mom.
Mm.
Ashley is the popular it girl at her school. Like, she is the most popular mm. girl, and everybody looks up to her for everything. Stuart... is like Asperger. He's like an Asperger's kind of kid. He mm-hmm. he's very meticulous. He's a little bit socially awkward, but he's got a fabulous heart. And you just feel for him immediately. Like, he just misses his mom. He has a cat that he's named Schrodinger.
Schrodinger,
that's
great.
It's fabulous. And the thing is, Ashley has this dirty little secret in her mind that she won't tell anybody. Her parents split up because her dad's gay.
Mm-hmm.
And you find out right away. That's not a spoiler. It's within the first, you know, 20 pages.
Mm-hmm.
She doesn't want anybody to know this because it's totally unacceptable in her world for her not to have
mm-hmm.
this perfect life.
Mm-hmm.
But Stuart ends up meeting her dad and liking him very much. And then Ashley has this romance, and it's kind of the push and pull of the new connections versus the old connections. And I don't want to spoil why the title is what it is, but it's... The reason for the title is a very, very sweet moment.
Aww.
There's
oh
a really
gosh.
Great
I,
reason for the title.
Great.
I know. It's wonderful. Like, when I read that, I almost choked up because it's just this really sweet reason that it's called this. So I really highly recommend this one.
Oh, my goodness. I got to get a good read and put them all in. They all sound great.
Yes.
So many good choices.
They
I know. I did read If I Stay, though, and also the follow-up, which I really
yes.
like that one.
I do too.
But
the,
also,
I have the follow-up at home, but I don't have If I Stay, so it disappeared somewhere along the way. But
Gail
I need to borrow
Forman
it.
Is another one
that's
I've read.
Yeah, she's
every
great.
Book she's written, and she's so good.
Yeah.
Okay, so we want to finish up by just talking about potential classroom connections or decision not to have a classroom connection, depending on grade level. What did you all think about this book in the classroom or not?
Well, I'll go first because I taught sixth grade, and I would not put it in a sixth grade classroom. There's nothing wrong with it. It's just not appropriate for six.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it talks about sex. It talks about stuff that's just more high school related.
Mm-hmm.
So if I had a sixth grader who was mature and brought it on her own, I wouldn't have an issue with that.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But I would not put it in my library
mm-hmm.
as a sixth grade teacher.
I taught 8th grade, so I would definitely have had it on my shelf because 8th graders, you know, they're on the cusp of high school anyway, and I felt like it was pretty tame
mm-hmm.
in relationship to a lot of other YA.
Mm-hmm.
So I would definitely have it on my shelf. I don't think I would ever teach it, but
mm-hmm.
I would recommend it to students.
See, the difference there is that 8th graders who are on the cusp, It was very tame, I agree. But, like, at one point it talks about, uses the word condoms.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Little sixth graders would lose their ever loving mind with the word condoms. Whereas eighth graders, a few
right.
might, but some
yeah.
are, would manage that much
mm-hmm.
better.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I agree.
This is Jen. I taught juniors and seniors, and I definitely would have had this in my classroom library for sure. I don't know about teaching it. I mean, I think there are parts that I could read out loud. Some of it, like, it was well written, so I do think there would be paragraphs, particularly when Jesse is reflecting, that are really thoughtful, that I could have taught just passages. I don't know that it would have taught the book as a whole. Ashley, what do you think?
Yeah, I think, and I taught 11th and 12th, but also 9th, and I think that I would do it in lit circles.
Yeah.
Because I like that it deals with, so if you were looking for books that dealt with grief in different
mm-hmm.
ways,
yeah.
I like that this one handles it in a pretty substantial way, but doesn't get too heavy, because some
yeah.
kids, for a lot of different, I mean, some of them have lost people, and
mm-hmm.
therefore do not, you know, some of the heavier books are hard for them to handle.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them haven't lost anyone and cannot yet imagine that, and so I just feel like it would pair nicely, because it would be really easy to read, so
mm-hmm.
it could be where, you know, if you're differentiating your books within a lit circle, I like that one would be an easier read and also handles some heavy topics, but not in too difficult of a
mm-hmm.
way. So I think it would work for that kind of thing. I wouldn't teach a whole class just because I'm not sure that I feel like it has lots of merits, but I don't know that it would work
mm-hmm.
as a whole class book.
Right.
Wouldn't appeal to everyone, that
mm-hmm.
kind of thing. But.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening to Unabridged. Do you have comments or opinions about what you heard today? We would love to hear them. You can find us on Instagram and Twitter @UnabridgedPod and on the web @unabridgedpod.com.